Hello and welcome to episode 35 of Popcorn Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. This week, Christy is off on some Louisiana adventure, but I'm here, Perry Nimroff, and I'm also here with my co-host, Angie Han. Angie, you want to say hello?
Hello.
And we have a very special guest this week. We have Matt Donato of We Got This Covered, who is a horror expert. So this week is perfect because we're talking about two, I was going to say good ones, but yeah, that's not really accurate. This week we're talking about Whiplash, Dead Snow 2, Red vs. Dead, and Dracula Untold. And we are going to start this thing off with Whiplash. And Angie, you're going to start with that.
All right, so Whiplash is directed by, is it Damien Chazelle? I don't know how to say his name. I'm sorry.
I think that's close.
Anyway, so it stars Miles Teller as I think he's a freshman at a music conservatory in New York City, and he wants to be a drummer, not just a drummer, but like one of the greatest drummers. And he eventually gets mixed up in a band that is run by J.K. Simmons, which is like, it's like the school band, but it's like the best of the best at that school. And it's basically, you know, if he wants to make his name, this is a good place to do it. And the whole movie is just kind of about like, J.K. Simmons is like pushes him farther and further. He's almost kind of like, I've heard a lot of people compare him to that, you know, the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket, which is pretty accurate, right?
I'd say so.
Yeah, where he's just like, he just keeps pushing Miles Teller further and further, and Miles Teller just keeps going further and further because it's so important to him that he become, you know, like I said, not just a drummer, but like a legendary drummer. The one thing that they keep repeating in the movie is, you know, Charlie Parker was nobody until... they say it so many times, I can never remember the name. Such and such threw a stone at him, which is basically saying, like, you know, if people just keep being like, that's okay, good job, then you'll never get anywhere, but you need someone who will push you and, like, tell you and call you on your shit and tell you when you're being horrible. All right, so that's the plot of the movie. It's basically a two-hander between the two of them, and I thought it was, first of all, the performances are excellent. But one thing that I think one of the things that has everyone talking is that when we say that J.K. Simmons pushes Miles Teller pretty hard in this movie, like it's not just like, you know.
You have no idea.
Yeah, that was what made it really interesting because I feel like, you know, we've seen a lot of movies about like artists that like wanted to be great and then they overcome obstacles and they emerge triumphant. But like usually, you know, it's. You know, they suffer some hardships, but in the end, it's fine. This one is a lot more complicated.
But the fun thing about that is it's not just about wanting to see if he can overcome these obstacles and become this great musician. There's also, like, this whole thought process of, you know, is pushing yourself okay to get to that point? Because some of J.K. Simmons' tactics, Fletcher? Some of Fletcher's tactics are not... they don't seem appropriate to me. But at the same time, I can also really identify with Miles Teller's character because, you know, like, even in, like, the line of work we've done, I've pushed myself to the point of, you know, making myself sick where I just go and go and go because I want to cover everything. So, I mean, it's not really, like, the same exact thing, but I can kind of understand what he's doing to a point.
Yeah, I mean, what makes it so much more interesting than your average, like, you know, talented musician overcomes obstacles type movie is that, like you said, it asks a lot of questions about, like, you know, okay, but like how hard is pushing someone too hard? Like how far to go to try to be great is going too far?
Poor kids' hands are like bloody. You have no idea.
He's like dripping blood on his drum set because he's practicing so much.
When we were trying to pick what order to do the movies in tonight, I said that there were two horror movies and like one that wasn't, but there is like blood spatter all over the drum kit at one point. So I guess this kind of has a little
horror
in it.
Episode, huh?
How much, though, do you feel it, though, when you look at his hands? Because, like, who hasn't gotten, like, a blister on their hands from, like, climbing up monkey bars as a kid? That freaking hurts. I don't understand how he walks around after he plays the drums and, like, touches or does anything.
Well, that's one of the things where you're supposed to see, like, how far it goes. One of the movies that I would compare it to in, you know, when we're talking about this is Black Swan, which is another movie about you know, a character that is just so driven to perfection and to greatness that she pushes herself in ways that she really breaks herself. She like pushes herself in ways that are obviously to an outsider, it's unhealthy. And this is one of the things when I was talking with when I was talking about this movie with someone else after, the person was just like, I just don't really get it. Like, I feel like, you know, he kind of went, like, he's like, at some point, it just became ridiculous. And I was like, but, you know, the whole point of the movie is that that's what separates Andrew, who is the character Miles Teller plays, and Fletcher, who is the character J.K. Simmons plays, from people like us, who would be like, you know, at some point, maybe this isn't helpful.
Well, you know, even when you're not that good at shit, you still do stuff like that, because I remember in high school, I used to play saxophone, and I was so intense about it, and, like, that's all I wanted to do was be the best, but then it hit that point where, like, you know how there's a difference between reading sheet music and improvising? I can never improvise. Like, who the fuck makes it in a jazz band that can't improvise? So, like, I still worked my ass off after that, but, like, I was never going to be great at it. But it was, that made, like, for a fun entryway to this character, too, because I was, like, watching what he was doing, and I kind of got it, because even in, like, the high school realm, we still had that, you know, the stupid, the band class, then there was jazz band, then there was the pit orchestra, and, like, you wanted to climb your way up. So I found the whole thing that he went through really relatable. And we need to talk about just Miles Teller and his work here, because
we need to talk about both of them.
That's
true.
But seeing Miles Teller in this movie and what he can do with this role makes me really sad that he is in Fantastic Four. Not that I have, like, rock bottom hopes for Fantastic Four, but I want to see
him. Wait, what's wrong with Fantastic Four? Hold on. What are you saying about that?
I think it's like whenever there's like a great indie actor and then he gets shoved into like a mainstream franchise. Look, sometimes it's great and a lot of times it's good for the franchise, but at the same time, I feel like sometimes I'm just like, I wish he was spending that time doing more stuff like this.
Yeah. I have a feeling he might be.
He seems more like, he was like recently caught like trashing Divergent and he had to like backtrack, so yeah.
Well,
this is where it's
I feel like he's been making a lot of questionable calls lately though. I mean, I haven't seen the film, let me just say that. I've been silent because I have not seen Whiplash yet, so I'm going based off everything you guys are saying. But I mean, I want to know about J.K. Simmons here because he is one of my favorite actors, so I want to hear from you, who is the better part here, Simmons or Teller?
There's no better part. If there was a better part, then this movie wouldn't work. Because it's
so different. And, like, half the fun of this movie is seeing them, like, duel with each other.
Yes, it's a really intense connection. It's a really intense connection that's, like, they're kind of helping each other but also hurting each other. Like, it wouldn't work if one of them overpowered the other or, like, if one of them was stronger than the other as an actor or as a character. But the reason it works so perfectly is because they feel kind of evenly matched in some ways. Or maybe not evenly matched because one of them has more of the power. He's a conductor. But it feels like Miles Teller is holding his own against him just fine. And it
he's scary in this, I will tell you.
Miles Teller or J.K.
J.K. Simmons. Not my tempo.
Oh, my God. I like
what the fuck.
I've had some crazy music teachers before, so I can kind of understand where you're coming from.
Unless you've actually literally bled for them, you might not. And it's not even just like physical pain.
You don't know me. You don't know what I've done.
It's true, I don't. It's not even just physical pain. Like, his, like, personal life suffers a lot, and, like, you know, you see, like...
The crazy thing, though, is that he doesn't...
As, like, a human, like...
It doesn't just suffer. Like, he's okay with it. Like, yeah. what he does to that poor girl in the movie...
We're not, by the way, I want to clarify, I know that we, like, compared this to a horror movie, but when we say what he does to that poor girl, we're not talking about, like,
murdering someone. Now we're probably giving everybody the wrong impression. He's not, like, running around, like, murdering people with drumsticks or shit like that.
Which is going to be awesome. Wait, idea for horror movie, time out.
Like, write that one down.
Noting that one.
And so... J.K. Simmons is absolutely terrible. Because the thing is, I have seen him in a bunch of things, but for some reason, in my head, he's always the dad from Juno. So to see him...
I'm sorry, I got distracted. Angie, are you still wearing that bracelet that's cutting off the circulation of your wrist right now?
Apparently, I, like, forgot that it was on, so yes.
You were complaining that it was so tight for forever.
I know, I guess I was just being a baby. Anyway, going back to...
It's New York
Comic-Con.
Simmons
will forever be J.
He'll forever be what?
He'll be Jameson from Spider-Man. Come on.
I don't know about that.
He's perfect.
I would pick other roles for him, maybe.
There's Miles Teller, who I think has, like, lately kind of found a niche being, like, sort of kind of like a younger Vince Vaughn, where he's like incredibly charismatic and like talks really fast, but is a little bit of an asshole. Like that seems to be something that
That's a pretty accurate description right there.
I mean, that was him in The Spectacular Now. I mean, that was exactly his.
Spectacular Now. It was him in that horrible movie he did with Zac Efron.
It's
a little bit more like Rabbit Hole, which was his first breakout before The Spectacular Now was his even bigger breakout.
Yeah.
An introspective character. It's more of an intense, like kind of quiet character, and he totally nails it. Like if anyone was worried that like, oh okay, Miles Teller's just gonna do like this thing now, this is one of those movies that'll be like, oh right, he can totally do all sorts of other shit. Anyway, so sorry, we should wrap up because we've been talking about this for way too long.
So should I see Whiplash? Are you guys
gonna thumbs up? Absolutely. Yeah. This was one of the best movies I saw at New York Film Festival.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Angie, I think you agree.
Yes.
Awesome. So Whiplash gets lots of thumbs up here. Next up for us is Dead Snow 2, Red vs. Dead, and Matt is going to start talking about this one.
I think I will take over here. I mean, Dead Snow 2, I don't want to give too much away because it is a direct sequel to Dead Snow. So, keeping that in mind, I'll keep it as vague as possible.
Don't we?
Right, exactly. I'll keep it vague. Basically, Dead Snow 2 picks up exactly where Dead Snow left off, and you have the character Martin, who is still alive. You find him after he's fought off the Nazi zombies and all his friends are dead and, you know, life seems bleak and all that stuff. But it picks up when Martin has an interaction, we'll call it, with Colonel Herzog, the head Nazi zombie. In a matter of words, he loses his arm, so does Colonel Herzog, and Herzog's arm gets attached to Martin. Now, he kind of goes a little crazy and doesn't know what the arm will do. The arm has superpowers, yada, yada, yada. Things happen. And in the whole grand scheme of things, Colonel Herzog remembers why he died and what his real-life Nazi form was doing. So he goes on a rampage to conquer the town that he once tried to. I'm going to leave it there because I don't want to spoil anything else. If you haven't seen Dead Snow, I give it my recommendation. I kind of liked it. I kind of do want to know what you guys think about Dead Snow 2 compared to Dead Snow, because I think I like Dead Snow a lot more than both of you guys.
Can we go into enough spoilers to say what, like, some of the other characters that come in are?
We can talk about the zombie squad.
Martin Starr is...
Even the other zombies that he resurrects are in the trailer, too.
Oh, okay. All right.
We can go that far? All right, I don't know how far we can push that one. Yes, Martin Starr, he comes as the zombie squad, which is the best thing ever, and he has to be in every zombie movie from now on, because he's that guy that we all kind of like think we are, who plan for the zombie apocalypse, and we're like, oh man, I hope there's an apocalypse, because I want to see if I can survive. And Martin Starr is that guy. He's every one of us, and he's excited.
We all play that game, and we mess around thinking about it. He's actually like preparing.
He's got a basement
full of stuff.
I think that's a good way of describing him. You're right. He's the guy that, like, you know when we watch horror movies and we're just like, psh, what a fucking idiot. Like, I would totally...
Exactly. That is who Martin Starr is.
It's kind of him and, like, the two other Zombie Squad characters
They kind of suck. I'm sorry. The Star Wars one might... I love this movie. The Star Wars character in this one, I forget her name now, might be the worst character, one of the worst characters of the year.
Oh, you haven't watched enough horror movies then.
Everything she said was, like, just driving me off my mind. And it was partially because I was liking the movie so much that because it had an element that wasn't working, it was just... And they kept doing it. It's like, you would think that while they're performing it on set, they would realize, you know, that line's not very funny. But no, they just keep feeding her more.
Well, I think for me, the one thing that didn't work the most was there was a lot of really, like, slapstick, goofy comedy in here. And I know that's what Wercola was going for 100%. He wanted to make the comedy this time. But, I mean, it was to the part where, like, Benny Hill music would start playing, and all of a sudden there's, like, a zombie stuffing hay into another zombie, and you're like, I don't know what the hell's going on here, but, like, I guess it's kind of funny. That's the part that kind of took me out a little bit. It went too far into the outlandish, and it kind of lost a little bit of, like, credibility, I would say.
I actually think I liked it for that reason. I mean, I'll always, like, I don't want to even rate Dead Snow 2 above Dead Snow.
No, I just,
they,
yeah, I agree with
you. They feel so different to me. But I did love what he did here. I had so much fun with it. I mean, what other movie do you see that, like, blows up baby carriages and some yes. people in wheelchairs and sidekick zombie? Holy shit.
Sidekick zombie,
what
yeah.
a brilliant character. That poor character just gets, like, beaten to death time and time again. But... I mean, obviously, you guys know I like pets. I kind of want a pet zombie now.
This movie, like, weirdly, like, it's, you know, it's really gory. It's really funny. And weirdly, it comes back around to being almost sweet at the end, which is something I was not expecting.
It's like a buddy comedy, almost. It's a nice, like, little, I mean, okay, for me, like, where Cola's creativity comes out the most, because there are numerous scenes where he rips the intestines out of people or zombies, and... it's never the same, ever.
You're right.
He always finds a different way to rip the intestines out. One time he's choking somebody, another time they're funneling gas through intestines. Like, he always knows what the hell to do, and he can make it hilarious.
That ending battle, where there's just so much shit going on, but, like, you could still, like, totally isolate all the little mini-battles that are going on, and he covers it so well. Like, that first shot where the camera's just, like, pulling right back as the two sides are clashing together, that's... freaking gorgeous stuff.
I mean, I feel
Well, he can set an action sequence. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's okay. I feel like this movie isn't necessarily for everyone because it's very, like, it's, like, really weird and, like, really silly. But if you're the kind of person that's like, oh, a Nazi zombie movie that just kind of, like, is just like, yeah, fuck yeah, we're gonna do, like, this crazy shit, and if that sounds appealing to you, then you'll probably like it.
I think you need to be in the mood for something like that. If you wanna, like, have some fun and see some gore, yeah. Like, I think, Matt, I went with you and two other people, Christy, actually, and Eric, who's been on the show as well. And I think we were just, like, in the right mind frame. It was the right time of day.
I was
going
to say,
right,
this is a movie you have to watch with other people. If you watch it by yourself, I'm assuming it's going to be a little weird. Like, it's kind of funny, but you're not going to laugh that loud.
I watched it by myself. I watched it at a screening where there were literally three other people, none of whom
I was friends with.
That is awkward. Yeah, so, like, other people were laughing, but... honestly, I think that I could tell even while I was watching it, like, I was like, oh, I wish, like, you know, Perry and Matt and, like, Christy and my other friends were here laughing with me, because then we
Christy was the best. She was screeching.
I was going to say, you just need Christy in that theater, because she would have been loud enough to cover for everybody.
I think Eric was terrified more at Christy's yells than you.
It was fun, though. I very much enjoyed that screening.
So I didn't see the first Dead Snow, and you
really?
Guys, but you guys both know. So
I dig that movie.
You should go watch that. I'd actually be really curious to know what you think going back.
Is it that different?
It's so much strange.
Yeah.
It's a straight horror movie, and it doesn't really play, like, the goofy edge that much. It's a little funny, but it's really darkly comedic.
The
gore
is,
oh my god.
It's more what?
I would say the gore is a little campy, you know? Like, just when they, like, dismember people, it looks
a
little
like,
more...
Yeah, but, like, the gore goes for it, though. There's, like you said, there's, like, literally, like, drawing and quartering people. It's freaking brutal.
No, the gore is really big and brutal, but I think it almost has, like... I don't want to use the word cartoonish, because it's not cartoonish, but, like, the gore has, like, a funny vibe to it, but the rest of the material feels much straighter.
It's just...
Yeah.
It's not, like, a hint of what this one has.
It's completely, like you said, you can't rate these two on, like, the same playing field because they're completely different movies. I think they're equally as good for their own separate reasons, and whatever you're in the mood to watch, that's what you pick. Like, if you want the straight scare, you go with Dead Snow. If you want the cartoonishly overdrawn scare that, really, it's not very scary at all, you go with Dead Snow too.
Do you think that you need to have seen the first one to fully appreciate the second one? Because I didn't, and I still liked it, but since you guys have,
I don't think it's necessary.
They do a really good job in that opening sequence.
Yeah, they tie everything up in that opening sequence.
Yeah, and, like, you see a little bit of the end of the other movie, and really, I mean, the core concept, I guess the inciting incident that launches all of this is just the arm swap, and anyone can get the arm swap, no matter who you are.
By the way, just, like, the idea of the arm swap is just, like, wow, that is an inspired way to pick up a sequel.
It's a fucking genius idea. Seriously, when I saw that in the trailer, I was just like, fuck yeah, this is what I wanted Dead Snow 2 to be.
Like, you're talking to someone that actually liked Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, so, like, I love what Cola does.
No, we are the Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
fucking love Tommy Wirkola, and he needs more movies to do. This is ridiculous.
I'm really bummed that he's not doing Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters 2, because now
I'm not really, because he should be doing different stuff. He had fun with Hansel and Gretel, just keep it there.
But I wanted to see the Hansel and Gretel that didn't have, like, the studio overpowering some of his decisions. And so, I feel like
if he still did the
sequel, then that might have been the case.
That's a good point, okay.
Dead Snow 2, thumbs up from everyone?
Yeah.
Might be the most fun I've had at the movies this year, honestly.
Recently, yeah, I'd say so. I highly recommend it. What about you, Angie, from someone who hasn't seen the original? You like? Yeah.
I feel like when you kind of have a sense of what this movie is, you kind of know whether it's going to be for you or not. And if you think it's for you, it's a good enough movie that, you're going to have fun. But bring friends and probably booze.
Good advice.
Yeah, lots of booze. Booze helps.
You might want to bring booze to our last movie of the night, too, but, like, not for the same reason, I guess. All right, so the big movie of the weekend, the wide release, is Dracula Untold, and it stars Luke Evans as there's, like, a historical component to it. So he's supposed to be Vlad the Impaler, and what happens is Vlad, when he was a little boy, he was taken in by the Turks. Well, he was stolen by the Turks, taken away from his family, and forced to train to become a warrior, and he becomes Vlad the Impaler. Then eventually, when he gets older, he goes back to Transylvania, and he has a family, and he rules his people, and he's a prince, and la-di-da. And meanwhile, see, now I'm, like, bleeding into shit I learned at the set visit that they never said in the movie, but When he was trained with the Turks, he grew up in the same court as Mehmet II, because they were being trained under Mehmet I.
They say that in the movie.
Mehmet II, do they really, in the beginning?
Yeah, they drop out.
All right, good. Mehmet II, played by Dominic Cooper, is essentially our villain, and while Vlad is all happy in Transylvania with his lovely family and his people, Mehmet's busy trying to scheme to kind of ruin all that, so one day he just rides in and he says, I want 1,000 boys from your kingdom, including your son, and Vlad is just not having it. So Transylvania is like itty-bitty. Mehmet's army is like a massive camp of crazy fighting people, and they have like no chance whatsoever. So Vlad decides to just sacrifice everything, and he goes up Broken Tooth Mountain to find... They never say this in the movie either, but Caligula. It was Caligula.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the cave, and he basically drinks his blood and becomes a vampire and kind of, like, risks everything to save his kingdom and his family. So I actually think that this is probably an instance where I would not have done a formal review of the movie because of the way that the set visit that I went on last year colored, like, my perspective of this film, because when we were on set, there was so much more detail to the story. Like, they were trying to honor, at least at the time, the history of the story so much more. Like, the real bond between Vlad and Mehmet when they were kids, and how Mehmet's father, like, looked on Vlad like he was the better one, and that's where Mehmet's animosity came from.
Wow, you're right.
None of that is in the movie.
And then they remembered it's a popcorn movie and no one gives a shit about that.
But, like, no, that's exactly what happened. And there was, I mean, there's another character who had a big part in the movie that they just completely cut out, and on set, that was one of, like, the most interesting components, and I was really excited to see how they wove it in. And what we get here is, like, completely shaved down. Like, they cut that character out. They cut so much of the story out. And for that reason, we have a 92-minute movie here. This is not a 92-minute movie. This is a 2.5-hour epic.
Wait, can I ask who they cut out? Is that, like, okay? Or...
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's out there. You could see. You used to be able to see her on the IMDb page. I don't think she's there anymore.
Dude, Samantha Barks. The fact that it's 92 minutes. The fact that it's 92 minutes was, like, my favorite thing about this movie.
That was when you said leaving the theater.
Because it's not good. If this was a good movie, it probably would have been longer and deeper.
I mean, need another hour of this nonsense. I don't need 20 minutes of this nonsense.
You know what else? I got the impression that changed a lot. Do you remember, like, one of the bearded guys with the long hair? I thought there was going to be more to him being Vlad's best friend, and that's why, like, his death was supposed to mean something.
That's it didn't mean shit. He was just like, he hung out with Vlad a little bit, and then he tried to protect his wife and kid, and he was like, oh, I tried.
There was another guy who looked exactly like him, so half the time I couldn't figure out if it was like that one or the other one.
Well, wait, was he a vampire at the end or no? Because I thought he was a vampire at the end, or was that the other guy that looked exactly like him?
I think that was the other guy who looked exactly like him, because I'm pretty sure it's the one he's supposed to be familiar with that dies trying to save the wife.
But going back to the stuff that's actually... So, you know, it sucks that it sounds like some of the stuff that would have added a little bit more life to this movie. Haha, that was kind of a pun. got sucked out. Oh, another pun! Not even doing
oh, my God.
Pun, I swear. I'm just that good. But
what biting criticism.
Going back to the stuff that's actually in the movie, this is like the blandest movie. First of all, okay, I know people have complained so much about, like, Twilight, you know, they wussified vampires, and they like, don't understand vampires, blah, 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 they ruin vampires, etc. This movie fucking ruins vampires, because there's, first of all, it, like, the whole point
Well, I disagree, because I don't think bit, like, it really gets to being a vampire.
It's not dangerous. Vlad the Impaler / Dracula is, like, such a good guy in this movie. We're not even talking anti-hero, we're talking, like, straight-up hero. Like, they even get into the stuff where he, like, impaled a bunch of people. Turns out he did it for a good reason. He did it for noble purposes. Like, really, there's really...
Well, there was the time that he, like, yelled at people when they tried to burn him. That was kind of mean, no?
There was that time that he got kind of mad because someone tried to kill him, yeah. Yeah, there was that.
Yeah, there was that time. That's, like, one time he got kind of mad a little bit.
Yeah.
It also doesn't establish any vampire rules.
No, it doesn't.
No,
he controls the weather, he turns into bats whenever he wants to, and he can just effing just fly around and shit. I don't know.
I didn't really understand his whole deal with, I keep wanting to call him Caligula, but no one's going to get that anymore. So I'm just going to, it's changed. On the IMDb page, it now says Master Vampire. Which makes me laugh.
By the way, Charles Dance as Master Vampire, by far the best performance in the movie. I lied earlier when I said the 90 minutes was the best thing. That was like a close second, but probably the only thing I really liked
about Charles Dance.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with any of the performances. I think that they all did the best they could with what they had. There's just nothing to work with there once you strip down all the other stuff.
I feel like Charles Dance kind of had the most fun stuff to do, and he had the most fun with his role, but, like, they don't give anyone anything interesting to do. It's the kind of movie where everyone just kind of, like, says, there's, like, no subtext. People just kind of, like, say things.
Oh,
no, they call out exactly. Every plot point is, like, said through dialogue, but that's exactly what you're expecting from this. Did you expect anything else from this movie? Because I think it delivered exactly what I came in for.
No, I mean, again, having been on set, I walked away thinking that this was going to be something more. It really convinced me.
Oh, well, I didn't. I watched the trailers, and I was like, this is going to blow, but it didn't blow that much. That's kind of...
No, I don't think it did either. I mean, I don't think it's, like, mindless fun like Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. I don't think it can get away with it in that respect, but I think this is just, like, you know, it's fine. I mean, what else is coming out in wide release this weekend anyway?
I don't know. Judge. I saw some dumb Ryan Phillippe movie.
Alexander
I don't know.
And the terrible, no good, very bad day. I don't know. I mean, look, you're right. It's not like the worst thing I've ever seen. It's like one of those movies that's just competent enough. I think I said this to Matt after the show, or like one of you, yeah. Where it was just like it's like the C-minus student, like. Technically, it passes, but you don't feel good about saying, okay.
It just coasts by. I mean, okay, here's the thing for me. It was good enough to the point where there was enough.
You keep being like, what did you expect? And, like, you're right, I didn't expect more, but, like, my expectations were very low, and I wish the movie had tried even, like, put in even the smallest amount of effort in, like...
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm actually kind of not upset about the whole crossover thing that's going to happen. Like, I'm actually a little bit interested to see what other monsters come up, and, like, it has me a little hooked on this whole Universal, like, monster canon. I want to see...
I'm interested in all of that. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but, like, I hope that the movies that follow or better, and I think that
this movie
also ends in a really weird spot.
Oh, so weird.
It was like they made the whole movie, they realized that their ending wasn't big enough, and they're just like, let's do, like, the biggest, like, Marvel-type thing we can, so people are obsessed and need to see the next thing.
Yeah, but it's so vague, it doesn't do anything. It's so desperate. It doesn't make sense, even with, like, going with the other monsters, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't really at all. And it also doesn't make sense for all the rules that this movie just established.
Isn't
his deal with Master Vampire that he has to go into the cave? Like, shouldn't he be in the cave?
Yeah, so, I mean, fast forward, like, a billion years, and he's just hanging out, and Master Vampire's following him. Like, I don't know.
Why? Yeah, it makes no sense.
I don't know why. I can't tell you.
But...
Yeah.
All I know is that women should start wearing corsets again. I think that's the biggest thing I pulled away from
this. Oh, stop that. No. there will be none of that.
Well, I'm not going to wear corsets, but if we're talking
As I adjust my big comfy sweatshirt.
Right. There are plenty of heaving bosoms, and Luke Evans, like, takes off his shirt a couple times.
Like, cheers to heaving bosoms. I'm okay with that.
Right, but I'm saying, the eye candy, I guess, is equal opportunity. It's certainly not worth sitting through this movie for. I don't know, like...
Luke Evans is pretty, though. Seriously, I could stare at him all day.
You should be able to, because they have so many awkward cuts to him shirtless, like...
He has the personality of Wonder Bread. He's pretty, but okay, and then what?
Yeah, but he looks velvety good.
Yeah. I side with Matt.
Wait, what? You shouldn't be siding with the one guy on the podcast about the guy's looks.
Velvety good versus Wonder Bread? Come on.
Yeah.
You made it too easy. So, we should probably wrap this one up. What do we think? No? No?
I'm saying if it's a rainy day and you have nothing else to do, you should go watch it because you could do worse with your life.
Sure, it's not the worst decision you will ever make in your life. You know, it's not, but... I don't know.
Fuck it, I'm going to say it. Go see Dracula Untold. I don't really care.
Angie, how would you compare it to Maleficent? Like, if you had to choose between the two.
I think Maleficent tried a lot harder, and I think that the things that Maleficent was kind of good at, it was better at than Dracula is good at.
No, I picked Dracula.
I disagree. Maleficent. Dracula was more fun.
Yeah, I think Dracula is a lot more fun. Maleficent's boring. Dracula's never boring.
Did Maleficent have a giant bat fist? No, it didn't.
It had a lot of weird shit in it, though.
She had, like, a friend / pet that was, like, a bird.
That turned into a raven.
Man. So, I mean, I feel like I would rather have that on.
Well, Dracula mistakenly discovered he could turn into bats, so whatever.
Yeah, no, I think I'd rather have, like, the friend bird thing.
Is it better than Annabelle? Do we have a better Halloween watch so far in October?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
There you go.
I would pick this over Annabelle.
Yeah, me too.
Stay home.
I can't believe I'm saying that, but I would.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I would say. Stay home and rent something.
Oh, yeah. We could have a whole debate about VOD
We're
horror.
We're just
going to
see Whiplash, whatever. All right.
Go ahead.
So I think we should cut off the back and forth there. So, yeah, we had two out of three this week. That's pretty good. That's better than the week before, right? Yeah, kind of.
What?
I don't even remember anymore.
Girl, didn't we?
Just Gone Girl, though. The other two sucked, right? I don't even remember. Look what New York Comic Con has done to my brain. I blame it on that. That is the end of this episode. Thank you guys so much for watching. And as you know, you can catch us all over the place. We are on YouTube. We're also on iTunes. So go over there and rate us, comment, all that stuff, because it really helps us out. You can check us out on our website, popcornprosecco.com. We have our Twitter handle, popcornprosecco. We're on Facebook as well, and then all of us are all over the internet as well. Angie, do you want to tell viewers where they could find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And Matt?
Yes, you can find me at DonatoBomb on the Twitter sphere, and you can find me at WeGotThisCovered.com.
And you can catch me at PNemiroff on Twitter, and my writing's all over Collider.com. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next week.
If you deliberately sabotage my band, I will gut you like a pig.